Father, we are very thankful that you've given us again the opportunity to assemble in this sacred and holy place. You come from near and far, and all of our storms have not been the same, but we've had our storms. All of our trials and tribulations, though they may not have been similar, they have been our own. We've taken ownership of pain and the sorrow. But Lord, you took ownership of us. You did not leave us and you did not forsake us. You kept us. And so here we are again in the sanctuary. And we've come to hear what you are saying. Not just to the church, but Lord, talk to me. I need a word for myself. Then, Lord, can I deliver a word to my children, to my husband, to my wife, to my friend, my neighbor, my brother, my sister. Lord, talk to me. Meet me in the place of my greatest needs. Allow me, Lord, to focus on you, casting other things aside. I want to see you. I've come this far, not to be denied or not to be ignored. I know you will hear me. And so I cry out to you. Speak to me. And Lord, allow me to come above. I might not be held by the mundane and melancholy of my life. Your word will certainly penetrate. Elevate me and give me power. And bless now, Lord, the preacher. I stand before this people that I would declare these words of life. We come to hear you, sir. As those Greeks declared, we would see Jesus. So, Lord, move everything else that we might see you in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, please forgive us of our sins and mercy on us. We're fighting the best we know how. Give us strength now. And we'll be very careful. Give you the praise and the glory. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless God. Come on, one more time. One more time this time. Come on and bless him. There you go. It's getting better. Come on, lift him up. Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Grab your Bibles while you're standing in reverence to the Word of God. If we can stand when they play Hail to the Chief. It's going to be hard to do that in the next 4 years, but we'll try. Yes, sir. Amen. We can stand for the word for just a moment. If you have the ability to stand, please do so. If you have a difficulty, that's all right. You've earned that in your journey to not be criticized because you're not standing. But if you're just being hard-headed, we're going to look at you some kind of funny to figure out what your game is. In the book of Jude, if you go to Revelation and flip, you're right there. Amen. If you have your smart devices, your tablets, your phones, you can pop that up right quick. J-U-D-E. Amen. You go there. You've been in church on more than one or two Sundays. You know ain't but one chapter therein. So we can't really call it a chapter. It's just called the book. Amen. So when you be around folk and they say Jude chapter 1, you just shake your head and say, you ain't churched. It's the book. Not a chapter. There's no chapter. There's just a book. That way you'll sound real churchified. Amen. It's like when you mention Psalms. There are no chapters. There are 5 books that make up the Psalms. And there are divisions thereof. And don't read no chapters. And for God's sake, whenever you're asked to read from Psalms and you get to where it says Selah, please don't say that. That lets you know then you ain't been Bible study. That's a musical connotation for musicians. Which means Paul's here. You're not a musician. So just read it. And you get, don't be trying to sound all deep and go, Selah. Because we're going to go idiot. Don't read that part. Just let that stay right there. Amen. Trying to help you now. Amen. All right, here it is. Verse 3. He says this, dearly loved friends, I had eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But watch how he shifts. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the truth of the good news. God gave this unchanging truth once for all time to his holy people. God bless you. You may be seated. I've got a few minutes. Ushers, thank you. You may be seated. Young people serve today. Let's bless the young people. Show them our appreciation. I think they were holding it down all by themselves. Amen. Amen. Some of us are still readers of the King James Version, and this is not a critique on my part. If you love the King James Version, it's the Word of God. That verse is written a bit different in the King James, and I want to lift it so that we will notice the comparisons and realize that there are certain words that are really text changers. I do love the King James. I really do. I love all of the Word of God. And when I prepare to preach and study, I put 5 different Bibles in front of me, and because there are certain words that change the text, the tone, if you will, the tenor of the text. And in the King James Version, it says, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. He's exhorting them. He's saying, go, come on. He's encouraging them. To contend, which means to fight for it, to give it a go, to give it your all in all. And so I want to help you understand, love of God, that there are some things in this life that are truly worth fighting for. And so look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is going to preach worth fighting for. Amen. I've been around a little while, and I want to go on record and say this to you, that I've been in some fights. I've been in some fights. I have fought over foolishness. I've fought over things that really were not significant after the thought. But there have been some fights, Deacon Davis, that I felt were worth fighting for. And those of you who grew up in the South, maybe not as deep as South as Laura and I, but down South, we used to have this little outdoor get ready to fight song. It goes like this. You can talk about me, you make me sad, talk about my daddy, you make me mad. But if you talk about my mama, okay, I can't go no further. There are some things that we're fighting for. And back where I grew up at, they call it playing the dozens. But if you talk about somebody's mama, oh, it's on. Yes, sir. You can say their daddy a drunk, a whoremonger, a thief, and a robber. They go, yeah, you must have met my daddy. But if you say something about somebody's mama, it's on. You can say you're big fat, and you ain't gonna get the mama part out. Uh-huh. You can talk about somebody's sister. You can talk about people, but you can't talk about nobody's mama. That's worth fighting for. And so I realized that growing up in the neighborhood, we had them little fights. And if there's some people you just egg on, you can egg them on, get them into a fight. But if I could fight about something that didn't make no sense, you get a little smarter, you get a little older. You fight about mama, you know, you get a little, you end up probably not talking about fighting about mama, that's what always happens. But the fact of the matter is What Jude says is something every Christian disciple ought to think about. Now go back and look at what he says in the first few verses, and it really sets up why this contentious behavior is acceptable under certain criteria. That's good preaching right there. He says, first of all, I'm writing to all who are called to live in the love of God, the Father, and to be under the care of Jesus Christ. Watch this. He said, and I'm praying that you would receive more and more of God's mercy, peace, and love. You know what he's saying? He said, man, in light of what you got, in light of how good God's been to you, y'all ought to pay attention to this. I'm saying to you all who have certainly been called by God. Let me help you right along through there. Everybody in this room has been called by God. Amen. No, the amens go better than that. Amen. Every one of you ought to get excited about the fact that God has called you. Amen. God has called you. And everybody in the room has high standing, pedigree, prop and circumstance as it relates to your calling of God. God called you because he wanted you to get something. God wanted you to go somewhere, and God wanted you to gain some things, and God wanted glory. Those three were free right there. Get something, gain something, go somewhere. God is saying to all of us, I can use you. Some of us have been overlooked, neglected, denied. Folk, they won't have nothing to do with us. But God says, oh, I see something in you. God said that no matter what people might say about you, no matter what they might know about you, some of you will never get through a background check.
Come on, Pastor.
Because what you did back then, you didn't know no better. Right. And now you're trying to move up in life. Some of y'all will never get government work. Because you've had felonies and mistakes and shortcomings. Cry not, children of God. God can still use you.
Yeah.
They may not let you work in certain staff positions, but the kingdom has room for you. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and just tell him, say, I can get in right there. Because God called me. I am the chosen generation. I am that elect and peculiar kind of people. And because God will use me, I think I want to be used. Yeah, if God got something for me, I think I want to do that. If God will let me just turn the lights on, I'm going to turn them on with some eloquence. If God will let me just work in the kitchen, I'm going to be the best kitchen work in the church. If God will let me be a greeter, I'm going to smile, grin like a Cheshire cat. If God will let me stand in the pulpit, I'm going to preach till I pass out. If God will let me usher, I'm going to pass out those bulletins like I got gold in my hand. If God can use me, I'm going to be used to his greater glory. I will not be minimized in my ministry.
Yes, sir.
People will know of my works of the kingdom.
Well,
because I'm working for the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And then he reminds them, I'm hurrying. He reminds them, he said, not only that, but you got to live in love.
Yes.
Yeah, love is wonderful, isn't it? I said, love is wonderful.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it? It's just something about love. All we need is love. That's what Deacon Ringo, Paul, and John said. They said, all we need is love. If you got love, you'll be all right. How many of y'all tried to live on love and realize it don't pay the bills?
Well,
tried to live on love and they won't put no gas in the car. So you went on back to the job and told them, I'm sorry I took all that time off. How many of y'all have got fired because of love? Sitting on that gal porch. You know you're supposed to be to work, Gary. You sitting around that gal house. Man, say, where's Gary today? I passed him sitting on. You got to understand that we've been called to live in love. Yes. Fellas, I was trying to help y'all out right there. Any man sitting with his woman right there should have winked at her one time. You'd been in bonus land right now. But please understand, if there's one of the difficulties I have with the church, says Gil, is the fact that we don't know how to love each other. You know, we don't know how to just love each other. Just love me and let everything else take its course. But he said, that's what you've been called to live in as well. And to understand part of your ministry is to love people. Amen. Part of our ministry is to look at your neighbor and say, I will minister to you differently from now on. Shame how preachers make folk lie in the church. But I pray you'll take that. We're on a 24-hour watch. And please understand, all you have is today. Just do better today. And then tomorrow will be a new today. Some of y'all are trying to pack too much in your lunchbox. Just do enough for today. Love me today. Live with me today in love. And tomorrow when you wake up, remember how wonderful yesterday was. But he said, you've been called to do that. And so, please understand, beloved God, that those two particulars, to be called is wonderful. To live in love is wonderful. But now, to get back to the fight. Come on, I need you to understand that there is a contentious assault being waged against your life. The devil is trying to steal from you. Not necessarily your money. Not necessarily your status or your reputation or your good looks or anything like that. What the devil primarily wants to steal is your faith. Why? Because he knows, Sister Amanda, that the just live by that stuff. There are some things in my life, Mona, I ain't going to have to live with forever, but I got to have my faith. You can have a whole lot of stuff. Matter of fact, I'll have a yard sale and you can just take it, but I got to have my faith. Because I got to trust God for the rest of my days. I got to trust him because trusting God is how I live. The just live by it. The just live. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Some of us ought to tighten up on that. We ought to get to the point where we ought to please God. I ain't got no problem with you trying to please your employer, please your wife, your husband, whatever. But the same energy levels that you are expending to please men ought to be multiplied so you can please God. Amen. If you treat God like you treat some people you really love, you're going to treat God a whole lot better. Say amen, somebody. You got to learn how to fight this warfare. Devil's trying to steal your faith. He tried to make Job believe that God was a hypocrite. Tried to convince Job that God had turned his back on him and that God would not see him through this trial, this tribulation, and this tumultuous time. But Job said, though he slay me, if God kills me, so be it. He gonna kill me with my hand in his hand. He gonna kill me while I'm kissing his face because my faith. Faith, all I got. I didn't come here with no money. Ain't gonna leave here with none. None of y'all ain't gonna leave here with no money. I didn't come here with anything. But mama introduced me to faith. Grandma taught me how to chew down to the bone on my faith. Grandma would say to me at times when things were difficult, baby, just trust the Lord. Look at her and say, Grandma, what that means? She said, you'll see. She said things like, just keep on living. She said things like, this ain't the end. This came to pass. But you hold on to God. Then now and then, Melvin, she would make us in a theatrical way do it. She said, just hold your hand up, baby. Just feel God grabbing your hand. And she said, hold your hand up, baby, till you feel God grabbing your hand. And sometimes we'd stand there and show enough, God bless me, I could feel it. God, I remember the day. I will never forget the day that what Grandma tried to metaphorically make me understand, God miraculously made it come to pass. Anybody know he'll manifest in the miraculous? I felt the hand of God.
Yes, sir.
I felt. And I said, oh, Grandma, she said, stay right there. She said, don't you ever forget that day that God reached down and proved himself just because you asked.
Yes, sir.
Devil's trying to steal. I'm about finished. They said, devil trying to steal that from you because he will put you into a contentious situation. Jude is really trying to write to them initially. What he really wants to do is just write them a celebratory letter.
Look at the content of it. He starts out by saying, I just want to let y'all know God love y'all. Just want to let you know God called you. Just want to let you know. And then he said, right then in verse 3, he said, I was really planning to just talk about salvation. Yeah. And that's why, Deacon Walker, I really believe that every now and then we ought to write people we care about a letter. If you ever wrote a letter, you will discover that every so often in the letter, the tone and tenor of the letter changes. Because you're thinking about that person, and you begin to realize that heading, that salutation, well, that was fine. But the more you wrote, the more intimately you considered what you really need to say.
Yes, sir.
He said, I was really just going to write to y'all about that salvation we share. He said, but it hit me. Uh-huh. He said, now I got to write to you about something else. And here it is. Here it is, Harmony. He said, I'm urging you to fight for what you believe. Church folk, you need to get yourself ready. We are in a fight. This sermon is intentional because I, like you, have been watching.
Come on, Pastor.
And it's not going to happen with protest marches.
Right.
It's not going to happen with us talking about, I can't believe people voted for, I can't believe it. No. This is about our faith.
Yeah.
This is about the truth. This is about, for God be for us. It's more. You cannot live in this warfare that we're about to engage in without having a faith that cannot be shaken. This ain't about walls. This ain't about immigration policy. This ain't about who comes in and who goes out. This isn't not about secretaries of state. This is not about vetting. This is about the devil trying to kill us, and he's using a power. He said, I'm urging you to defend the truth. Fight for your faith. Hold fast to what you said you believe.
Yep.
They've been walking around, and I agree with them. Says few choir. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. I know who's in the house. It doesn't matter to me, but I got to fight for what I believe. You can't convince me. I had nothing to do with Roe versus Wade. I have nothing to do with the Department of Education, Brown versus the Department of Education. I have nothing to do with a whole lot of stuff, but what I can fight for, I'm going to fight for. I believe, therefore I am. And he said, you got to fight for it because the challenge is coming. We have laughed for years about freedom we have in religion. You better keep your eyes open. You better keep your eyes open. We've been bemoaning for years how we let them take prayer out of school. Prayer ain't never left school. Long as folk who've been in school know Jesus, prayer ain't never left school. But our fight is against surface things. Sometimes we're just too cool.
Well,
too sit backish. I know, Sir Scott, that's not a real term, but in the middle of preaching, I make up stuff. Those who are in Christ must no longer sit back and fight from the bleachers.
Well,
we got to fight from the field. Listen to me well. Those of us who have received the doctrine, those of us who know the truth of God, must not wait until we are under the fray to begin to preach and to teach. We've got to fight now in a season when it may not seem that the fight is naturally at our door. Then we must take the fight to our enemies. Fight for what we believe. I don't care about Republicans, Democrats, Independent, Tea Party, Green Party. All that stuff don't mean nothing to me. I've had this book all my life. And this is where I'm going to stay. And he reminds him, he said, you've been through some things. Every Christian must understand, I'm about to finish, every Christian must understand that you have been through things, but you got to fight now. Don't give up now. Don't fall by the wayside. He said, you got to be earnest and you got to make sure that you are energetic. You got to make sure that you have all of those things that push you even to the point of being extemporaneous in your faith. Sometimes you got to do it off the cuff. Sometimes you just got to go by what you remember. You may not be able to quote verse and chapter, but you can cover it by saying, I know the Lord said. I may not know what verse or what chapter, but I know the Lord said. And earnestly, he said, you can't be frivolous. You can't be frivolous in your Christian faith. He said, listen, you signed up. You got to strive and you got to submit and you got to struggle if you must, but your faith will win the day. There's an old church, they sang, Eric in the church said, we've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. Trusting in his, y'all know the song. And that's what it is. He said, that's the contention song. We are on the battlefield. And our weariness will not win the day. I've said it before, deacons, we don't pray enough around here. We need to pray more. And not pray by ourselves, but pray with each other. It's a shame when we go to a restaurant and looking around the table, now who's going to lead the prayer? Everybody ought to be praying. Can't wait to Thanksgiving and wait to Uncle Joe come up with a rehearsed prayer. Or to pray out our heart. Can't get tired of praying. You got to pray all the time. That's what the Thessalonian church learned. Paul said, listen, you got to pray without ceasing. Too many of us are just weary. I know life has gotten tough. I'm about finished. Life has gotten tough. And you feel like you earned a little break now. You want to let the others take. Who going to take over in your faith? My faith is mine. It's not my wife's. It's not my children. It's mine. And I got to fight for what I believe in. So he reminds them. Peter comes along. I'm done here. Peter comes along and said, listen, let me help you understand something. He said, don't you be surprised when fiery trials come. Anthony, this is what he said. He said, I'm telling you something now. It's on now. He said, please understand. Don't you act as if something strange is happening to you. Well, some of y'all sitting around acting like you don't understand what's going on. You better try the spirits. Yeah. By the spirits. Watch what he said. He said, but you got to get glad. When these fiery trials come. Some of y'all been through. Some of y'all been to hell and back. But see, what you fail to understand, you made it back. Come on, talk to me. Some folk didn't make it back. Some folk could not have gone half a mile in your shoes. But what you've been through was not to destroy you, but to develop you. God wasn't trying to break you. God was trying to build you up. And you got to understand that you fought the good fight. This is what the word said. The Bible said, and you have fought the good fight. That's the day that you get your crown. You fight the good fight. You must remember that the fight against foolishness requires faith that is foundational and sure. He said, I know who I believe in. Some of y'all must understand that you've been through some foolishness. But it was worth fighting for. You understand that when the devil told Eve that God was a liar, that was foolishness. She didn't know what to do about that thing. But I hear the Lord saying now, you know my voice. You know my character. You know my signature. If it ain't from God, it's not likely of God. Come on, talk back to me. And you got to get through that. You got to understand, beloved God, that what's happening to you is not strange. If we can get folk to be honest, Tamika, just about everybody in here would have to admit that I'm going through something right now. Everybody in this room, ain't nobody on no cakewalk. That's right. All of us got bills to pay. Come on, all of us getting old and arthritis is showing up in strange places. We waking up and can't move as fast as we used to move. We've been lied on. We've been betrayed. We've been set up. We've been took down, but we kept on pressing. It ain't easy. It ain't easy. It wasn't easy for some of us to get up and come to church this morning, but the devil is a liar. I'm going anyhow. I got to go. I got to go. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. I just got to have a little talk with him. I just got to tell him all about my struggle. I didn't come here pristine and beautiful. I came with scars, battered, beaten, and worn. But I thank God I'm still alive. He kept me through the watches of the night. He kept me in my storm. He kept me when nobody else would do. Jesus stayed with me. and I fought. So you got to understand that there will be confrontations. But it's worth fighting. But then he reminded them, I'm out there. He reminded them, he said, listen, you will not collapse under your faith, but you'll be conformed by your faith. Contend for it. It'll shape you up. We used to tell when I was in the military, I used to tell my soldiers, no pain, no gain. I used to tell them, Anthony, don't cheat your body. Do them extra push-ups. Run that extra mile. Put that donut back on the chow line. Don't cheat your body. It'll conform you, because after a while, you'll go from having a beer belly to a real six-pack. I don't like the way y'all looking at me right there. You got to understand that faith is to conform us, and it ain't easy. Too many of y'all want to have an easy believism. You want to just think that the God just going to open up windows of heaven and pull you out blessings, and you just going to sit at the banquet table, and you just going to stir your sword in the sand. No. You got to go through some stuff. And here it is. Peter said, be happy when you get insulted. Don't even worry about it. Look at him and say, I ain't worried about that. You got to learn why. He said, because when you realize that the Spirit of God is resting on you.
Well,
ooh, that's why Grandma said that song, Lord, this little light of mine. Some of y'all ain't got no light. Some of y'all ain't got no candle. You know, back in the day when Funkadelic and Parliament would come to town, we all showed up with our little flashlight. We all showed up with our little big light and all that kind of stuff. You know, they sing song, we all just waving our little flashlight.
Neon light,
spotlight, and then go home and you back in darkness. You should have saved that flashlight for when the hurricane came and the power went out. You got to have a light, children of God, because the Bible said that if you got a light, it can't be hid under a bushel. You got a light, it'll draw men to you. You got a light, it will illuminate the way. And you must understand that the Spirit of God rests upon you. That's your light. That's why Grandma said it, this little light of mine. Look at your name and say, you got to have your own. God bless the child that's got his own, but this little light of mine. It ain't a big light. It's not a spotlight. It's not going to work at the airport, but this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine everywhere I go, all in my home, all in my church, on my little raggedy job. This little light of mine. Why? Because the Spirit of God rests upon me. And where the Spirit is, there's liberty. Tell your neighbor, he'll set you free. God will bring you out of bondage. God will bring you out of heartache. God will lift you up from the muck and the mire. God will turn that thing around. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is with me. He's walking with me and talking with me along my narrow way. But I thank God that his Spirit rests upon me. He's conforming me. He's changing me. He's shaping me. He's strengthening me. And whatever I need, God will supply. My faith. My faith, you got to trust him. In the tough time, you got to trust him. Solomon said, listen, you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. What is he saying, Demetria? Solomon is saying, go for it. You got to go for broke. You got to learn how to celebrate even in the midst of your storm. You got to learn how to praise God when there is no keyboard and no drums. You got to learn how to sing when you don't even know all the words. If Milli Vanilli can get away with it, you ought to do it yourself. Because there are something that just got to come out of the inside of us. There are something that are gut-wrenching and will drive you to your knees. But while you're down there, call on the name that can lift you up. While you're crying, cry out. When you're broken, let him fix it. Because there are some things. There are some things that nobody else will understand. But Jesus is on the main line. I can call him up. Anybody ever call him up? I can call him up and tell him all about my struggle. He'll hear the faintest cry and he will answer. I feel my help coming now. Anybody know he'll answer? Anybody know that if you call upon the name of the Lord, that the Lord will answer? He'll answer. Solomon said, listen, trust in the Lord with all your heart. and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will. I got to go now. The time is coming when the fight is going to require soldiers of a tenacious attitude. That old Lucky Strike commercial, y'all remember it back in the day? Man or woman, either one, didn't matter. Sitting there with an old cigarette about 2 miles long. Little captain said, I'd rather fight than switch. I never understood how you can love a cigarette that much. But apparently, Sis Gill, they really did. Lady be sitting there with a glamorous head full of hair and evening attire. Got a black eye. Now, generally, you see a woman with a black eye, you won't talk to her husband. But then you look across the room, he over there with a black eye too. That falls under the category of I got just as well as I gave. Okay, y'all get that later. But they said they'd rather fight than switch. And so it is, Addison, that's how I feel about the Lord. I'd rather fight than switch. We are not living under persecution. But here's what Peter reminded the church of. He said, listen, the time is going to come that judgment will begin. Judgment, Rem Corbett, going to be set upon us. And it's not going to start at the Pentagon. It's not going to start in the House of Congress or on the Senate floor. Peter said that when it comes, it shall begin in the house. Look at the neighbor's neighbor. It's coming. The household of God. God's going to try us. God's going to test us. God is going to expose us. God is going to reveal who is, oh my God, and who ain't. Everybody talking about him ain't going. But the Lord is. I feel my help now. The Lord is. The Lord is. I say the Lord is. Anybody know that the Lord is? The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I thank God for trying me. I thank God for testing me. Anybody know he made a way when there was no way? Anybody know that he'll pick you up and turn you around? Won't he do it? Can't he do it? Is there anybody here right now been through the storm and been through the rain, had hard trials, sickness and pain, but you called? I said you called. I said you called on the Lord, and the Lord heard your cry. Anybody know he heard your cry? And he reminded you that I'll be right here. I'll stay with you in the midnight hour when the storms are raging and the billows arise. God will. I say God will. He'll take care of me. Anybody know he'll take care of you? Grandma said he walks with me and he talks with me and tells me I am his own. And this joy and this love and this peace that we share, nobody can steal it from me. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's mine. What I have with God is mine. This joy is mine. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. This peace is mine. Anybody got peace? Won't God give you peace? Aren't you glad you got peace in the midnight hour, in the storming times, when the bills are past due, when your body's racked with pain? Won't God fix it? Anybody know he's a fixer? He's a sure enough fixer. And that's why Jude said, I told you all I can, but I like the way he closes, Melvin. He said, unto him who is able to keep you, to set you, to strengthen you. I want you to know, unto him. Look at the name and say, it's unto him to keep you and present you and prevent you from falling. He won't let you fall. He'll pick you up and turn you around. He'll give you strength. He'll give you wherewithal that you can run the course. Paul said you got to run this course. You got to finish your race. Look at another name and say, neighbor, I started out a long time ago, and there is no doubt in my mind I've come too far to turn back now. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining. Look at your name and say, neighbor, every round goes just a little bit higher. Anybody want to go higher? Anybody want to press on? Anybody want to climb? Anybody want to run? Won't God fix it? Won't God do it? Now unto him who is able. Tell your neighbor, he's able. Because I tried him for myself. He's able. Because God did it when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. And when he died, he fixed everything. I said, when he died, he fixed everything. That's why grandma said, I'm all right now. Since I met my Savior, I'm all right now. Anybody all right? Look at the name and say, neighbor, it ain't over, but I'm all right. I'm still in the midst of it, but I'm all right. I still got a doctor's prescription, but I'm all right. I still got to talk to my lawyer, but I'm all right. I'm still waiting on my test results, but I'm all right. My marriage is still kind of shaky, but I'm all right. My children crazy, but I'm all right. The job's still laying them off, but I'm all right. Anybody all right? It's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. Your faith is going to see you through. You ain't going to always have money. You're not going to always have your name, the brass plate on the door. But your faith is going to see you through. I will trust in the Lord till I die. They sing that song, Melvin, in church, and wouldn't be a dry eye. One of my old sisters would get up, grab the mic. Ain't had no business up there. Just took the mic. Look at the pastor, said, "Brother Pastor, y'all gonna excuse me." You know, that's old church language for I'm about to take over up in here. Old sister, you know, when they get so old and they earn their stripes, you can't set them down. That's when the preacher would say, go ahead, let them use you. Let them use you, don't they? And they would grab that mic and look over there at the musician and say, I don't know what key y'all got. I don't know how none of that work. But I just want to say my little song. And they would start that song. I will trust in the Lord. And they weren't in no hurry, Jess. They took the time. And you know, you can tell when they're about to get down, Anthony, because they would grab the mic and lean on something. And they look around, see if the folk with them yet. And they just do like this. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. Till I and see folk in the church, they get the shaking and moving back and forth.
And that's what would happen. Somebody who ain't have nothing to do with the first part will make sure we got to the second part. And it go around the church. Before you know it, everybody got a little part. Because that's one of them songs you can just throw your line in. And somebody will say, amen, go ahead on now. And we get to those parts when they start talking about personal relationships. And you understand when they say stuff like, I'm gonna treat everybody right. I'm gonna treat everybody. And folk will reach over and grab somebody's hand because that's just what y'all to do. I'm gonna treat everybody right till I die. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Whoa, I'm gonna treat everybody. And you can look around the room and you see some folks saying, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. Treat everybody. My Lord, I'm gonna treat everybody right till I. And God bless you today. I just need you to stand on your feet with me for just a moment. And I want you to do what I did as a child. I may not have understood the moment, but I sure understood the message. And I need you to testify within your own spirit. You may not be in the choir, and I ain't either. But you can help yourself today by giving yourself your own little inspiration and get this line wrapped around your little head. Because I believe it's going to help you today. Because you got to get out there and fight these fights. You got to get out there and win one. You got to learn that you're more than a conqueror. You got to trust in the Lord. And so you need to help me and just simply say, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust. Say it for yourself. In the Lord, I will trust. In the Lord, till I die. Come on, help yourself. Everybody, come on. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. Come on, wave at me. I will trust in the Lord till I die. You're standing in this room today. You've got a fight coming. And I said earlier, it's not necessarily the fight that you're in, it's the fight in you. And I need you to know that your faith is worth contending for. Let them have some of that junk you don't have no need of anyway. But don't forfeit your faith. Don't let your weariness make you feel unworthy. You fight that good fight. Let the confrontational things come. Let conformity take place in your life. But please understand that there is a crown that's laid up for you that's going to be rewarded to them that have been faithful. You don't have great faith, you can't get no crown. And so you got to fight, beloved of God. Paul told Timothy, you got to endure hardness like a good soldier. And so believe, beloved God, that you are a soldier of the Lord. We sang that song, and I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. We talked about being on the battlefield, but trust in this. You are more than a conqueror because you got the Lord on your side. Look at your name and say, neighbor, I'm going to win this time. You're standing here today, you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life. I invite you to come. You haven't accepted Jesus Christ. I want you to come very quickly. I know the hour has been well spent. Choir sang 2 minute song, pushed us behind. It's all their fault. We want you to come. The doors are open for Christian discipleship. We believe that it is our responsibility as the Greater Brookville Church to actively seek to develop and to strengthen and to make disciples out of a disciplined life. The order of the God that we serve is simply this: come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You have not accepted Jesus Christ. My invitation to you and this people who share with me in this work is that you would trust God for a new relationship, unlike anything you've ever been involved in your life. Tony Braxton made one of the greatest gospel songs of all time. Y'all didn't know it was a gospel song, but I called and she told me what she was really trying to do. When she made the song, I Love Me Some Him, she was talking about the Lord. She said, I was really talking about the Lord, Leroy. I said, thank you. You got to love you some Him. He loves you and you ought to love Him back. Teddy Pendergrass made another gospel song, said, it's good loving somebody when somebody loves you back. Not 70-30, not 60-40, but a 50-50 love. But see, God goes better than 50-50. God goes 100 all in. He said, I love you when you don't even love me. And so I want you to know that God loves you today, and you're more than welcome to come to Him just as you are. You're saying to yourself, well, Reverend, I got to stop drinking. I got to stop smoking. I got to stop hanging out. No, you just need to come to the Lord right now. Because one thing I know about the Lord, He can prune and purge like nobody else can. There are some things that God will just take away from you. And some things you're going to have to wrestle with all the way to the kingdom. So don't think you got to be perfected before you come and make your profession. Make your profession and watch God do the perfecting. Let me show you how I know that. How many in this room right now can raise your hand and testify that God made a change in your life? All you got to do is look around. That's just how real it is. Nobody in here is perfect, but God made a change in our life. He gave us just enough room to escape and make a good decision. And I need you today, beloved of God, young man and young woman, to make a good decision. You're just going to join with the rest of us who are pressing on the upward way, just trying to make new heights every day. So if you'll come today, the doors are open for Christian discipleship, that you might join the ranks of those who are called the children of God. Second thing I want to say to you today, maybe you've been a Christian for a little while, but you had some issues in life. Everybody's had issues. You fell back. You stopped going like you used to. You got a little frustrated, think that the church wasn't going the way you like, and somebody made you mad, and you said, you know what, I'm just done. I'm tired. But God is saying today that you can be restored. You can be revived. You can be reinstated. God will take you just like you are. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm back. I'm back. He'll take you back. Anybody know He'll take you back? Yeah. Amen. All you have to do is say it with your mouth, believe it in your heart. And God said, you know, I've never let go of you. You do know that He never lets go of us. We let go of Him. We send Him a Dear John notice. Don't come around here no more. But He says, I'm not going anywhere. And so if you want to come back today and just be reinstated into the body of Christ, our doors are open and we're welcoming you. We're not going to ask you where you've been. All we're concerned about is, do you want to go where we're trying to go? Do you want to go down the road we're going down? And we'll help you. How many are willing to testify that you didn't make this journey by yourself? Folk been helping you, haven't they? Been calling you saying, listen, I didn't see you Sunday. Come on now. And I'm glad folk badgered me, stayed on my case, because I would have fallen by the wayside. But some folk in the church loved me, took a little interest in me, and helped me along my way. Last thing I want to say to you, if you've been traveling about and you've been looking for a church home, we've been waiting for you. Deacon Tom Baudet said that we'll leave the light on for you. And we've been waiting for you. That's why we keep our doors open. That's why our hearts are glad to receive you. You're looking for a church home. We're looking for a place. You're looking for somewhere for your family to be nurtured, to grow, to put their arms around you and genuinely mean that we're in this thing together. We've got a room for you. The Lord said, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. In my Father's house, there are many, many mansions. And I just believe today, if you're looking for a church home, there's room for you at GBC. There's room for you to serve and for you to grow and to be fed. The hard work is on me. To enjoy the labors of a good pastor, that's on you. Let me teach you. Let me groom you. Let me shape you. It's what I love to do. But you got to come on in and let us strive together. Bible says if you're going to walk alone, you got to walk alone in agreement. And our doors are open for you and your family that you can grow in the Lord. You're here today. You need to make that decision. We're waiting for you. God bless you. We're waiting for you. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about what happens if. Just let God take care of the when. W-H-E-N. When you decide, watch what God's going to do. Our doors are open. Those three things are there. Amen. I know you're ready to go. It's time to go. So we want to do what we ought to do. We ought to pray together. So we invite you to bring your burdens to the Lord, your concerns, your issues. Bring your sons, bring your daughters. But here, bring your wounded heart. Come ye disconsolate and trust God. Don't carry that around any further. You've carried it long enough. It's time for you to get that weight off of your shoulders, that hump out of your back. You've been bent and bowed. It's time for you to get relief now. Turn it over to the Lord and let him work it out. Trust him. Again, I said that last Sunday. That's been in my spirit for the last few weeks. The Lord is saying, tell the people to trust me again. Trust me again. You've trusted him before. You got through that storm before. You just like grandma when she said, my soul looks back in wonder how I made it over. Anybody standing here now can just kind of throw your hand up, and that's your testimony, that you look back and wonder how in the world. You know that if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you might not have been dead and sleeping in your grave, but you probably would have been in a mental institution. You would have lost your mind if he wasn't a mind regulator. That situation was getting the best of you, but God showed you a way of escape. The bills were piling up, children driving you crazy, the marriage was in trouble, the layoffs were coming, people were saying what's going to happen, but you cried unto the Lord and he heard your cry. God said, I got this. And doesn't mean you didn't get some damage from it, doesn't mean you didn't cry a little bit, but God said, I will. And you know he did. That we know we're here not just because of the grace of God, but because of the love of God. Because of the protection. He put a hedge round about you. When other folk lost it, some folk died from lesser things. But you're still here. You're not looking around saying, I sure think my Aunt Hattie Mae and my Uncle Albert. No, I thank God. Aunt Hattie Mae, you all right. Uncle Albert, appreciate it. But the Lord used y'all. And I thank God for using people. Anybody know God is using folk in your life? Some of y'all, God is using y'all. And some folk, if you had it up to your own discretion, you'd have cut some folk off a long time ago. And you're saying, God, why you keep sending them my way? And God is saying, because I trust you. God will use your bank account. God will use your car, that spare bedroom. God will use your clothes. God will use you in ways, and you sit there and say to yourself, this got to be the Lord. This boy done about pushed me to the end, and God won't let me cut him off. This girl keep coming to me with this foolishness, but God will use you because he trusts you. You just agents of the Lord. Some of y'all don't know why God keep doing that, but it's developing you too. Because a little while longer, you're going to look back and say, you know what, God, I thank you. Because if you'd have let them go this way or that way, they'd have messed that thing up. God is so wonderful. But you got to trust him today. And I need you to know that he's saying, trust me again. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I ain't scared no more. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I'm putting all my hope in God. My hope is built on nothing less Don't cheat yourself out of a great hope. Trust in the Lord again. Squeeze your neighbor's hand and say, baby, homeboy, whatever you got to say. Look at who you're dealing with now. Just make sure some folks get mad. But tell them, I got this much strength left. That little squeeze, that's how much strength I got left. But it's enough for both of us. Because if the hand I'm holding is holding me, now that's both of us. If I ain't got nobody to hold on to, that's just me. But the little bit of strength we just exhibited, that's enough for both of us. Because if I come out and I'm holding on to you, you got to come out too. If you go down and you're holding on to me, I'm going down too. And I don't feel no ways tired, and I don't feel like going out today. So I'm going to hold on to you. And whatever God does for me, you're going to benefit too. When I eat, you're going to eat. When I ride, you're going to ride. When I dress, you're going to dress. God going to do it for us. And see, what you didn't take into account, that ain't just one time. That's two times. Because you got a right and a left hand. See, you didn't know you had three times the pleasure working for you already. What are you saying? I'm saying both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost have represented themselves just in your little community right there. And then that thing keep multiplying. From Eric all the way around to Sister Stephanie. From Sister Stephanie all the way back to Carolyn. From Carolyn all the way over to Brunice. Look what God has done. We're a household of faith. And the elect of God shall come through. We're on our way somewhere. To God be the glory. I need you to very quickly, whatever things are on your heart, I need you to lift them up before the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Amen. All right. Oh, yeah. Whenever I see God do something in somebody else's life, I just write that down. Because when my turn comes, I say, Lord, you did it before. I know you can do it. And if you'll do it for him or her, you know, sometimes that's when our little feelings come up because we try to prove to God that I know I'm worth it. You know, if you're going to look out for Gary, you got to look out for me too because there's some stuff me and you both know about Gary, Lord. Come on, Lord. How many of y'all ever did a come on, Lord? And well, tell your neighbor, God bless her. And when she filed that lawsuit about that misdiagnosis, come on, tithe here. Amen. God bless anybody else. Come on, that's what we're here for. I got time. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. What's his name? Dolores. Okay. Yeah, that's a good name right there. Is it D-E-L-O-R-E-S or I-S? E-S. That's right. Dolores. That's right. Pettigrew. It's a good, strong name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Come on, Sister Mary. You on center stage. Amen. 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 That's our friend. Amen. Amen. All over this place. Amen. Go ahead, Sister. Amen. When's your surgery? Not scheduled? Amen. Pray God's mercy and grace. grace and that you get a skilled surgeon and that your recovery come quickly. Amen. God bless you. Just remember, the Lord will. Amen. You don't look worried at all. You look confident. Amen. That means you got to keep things off your shoulders till we fix them shoulders. Then we're going to put some stuff on them shoulders. God be the glory. Amen. How old is he? 9 and talking like that? Watch out for that young fella there. Amen. They got to get him up to the church to testify. What church he go to, you know? In Crew? All right. What's his name? Little fella, you know his name? Macon? How you spell that? Like the city. Okay. Very good. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you today. I know we've spent a little time and choir got us behind. We'll be all right, though. Next Sunday, we'll make up for it. Amen. But please remember this. You're holding somebody's hand that's carefully made. They are agents of the Most High. These are ambassadors, dignitaries of the faith. And don't ever doubt God. Listen. Darkness is going to come. Storms are going to come. And the devil is going to play with your head. But just keep trusting God. Some things are inexplicably crazy. But trust God. For young Macon and for Sister Mona, for your friend and neighbor, for the Pedigree family, for all of those conditions and circumstances. Sometimes we don't want to tell nobody stuff because we feel like once you say it, it's just more than, no. I told them this morning, that stuff about rebuking and not claiming, that ain't never worked. People are going to walk around talking about, I ain't going to claim it. It still happens. Trust God to fix it. And if he don't fix it, ask him to give you the strength to live with it. Amen. Because some things that are broken may not get fixed. Then teach me how to live with it broken. And I've learned that lesson. There's some things in my life been broke a long time. But God has taught me how to live with it broken. It's just like a little squeaky hinge on the door. You just gonna learn after a while you don't even hear it no more. Somebody come along and say, you know that thing squeaking? What? What are you talking about? I've lived with it that way so long. I'm used to it. I never forget. My grandfather had an old truck. Key was broke off in the ignition for years. And he kept a real key, had another key. And people just got to try to stick the key in there, Gary. It wouldn't go in. They said, man, you can't, the key won't go. See, that's people who try to use the key. He said, oh, well, don't worry about it. I'll get looked at later on. Man, they'd go out there with that half-broke key, stick it right in there, and whoom! He lived with it broken. It served him well. But if you didn't know how to deal with it broken, you couldn't get use out of that truck. But if you knew the trick, sometimes you got to live with stuff that's broken. Now, with all that money that old man had, when he fixed that thing, because he knew people who didn't know no better going to try to steal his key. Trying to get his truck. He couldn't go nowhere. But those of us who knew, and 11 years old, Gary, I knew. I stole that truck a lot of days. Yes, sir. But trust God for the brokenness.